what's to come. Orders, singers, musicians to come. Not today is to justify me and answer what I am for, but you, a new brood, native, athletic, continental, greater than before known. Arouse, for you must justify me. I myself but write one or two indicative words for the future, but I advance a moment only to wheel and hurry back in the darkness. I am a man who, sauntering along without fully stopping, turns a casual look upon you and then averts his face, leaving it to you to prove and define it, expecting the main things from you.
Good evening. You've made it through the work week. You've made it to Friday night. You've made it through to the poetic platform put on for you. This is World Poetry Open Mic. I'm your humble host, J. Todd Underhill, house poet. On my left-hand side, as almost never happens, it's not Michael Amade. However, she smells better than Michael Amade and has a deeper voice than him. Please welcome Christine from Radio Angry.
Hi.
Not that deep. I'm just saying.
Hello.
Hello. Welcome to our show. I'm glad you're filling in for Michael in his absence.
Well, thank you.
And on her left-hand side, her beloved half-squatch and husband, he is JT.
Good evening.
Hey. Welcome. I'm really glad I get to do the show with you two guys. It's going to be fun.
Yeah, oh, boy.
I am going to miss Michael, though.
Yes.
He's one of a kind. Thank God they broke the mold when they made him. Yeah. All right. So, we got some sponsors. Do you want to do a sponsor?
No, you go right ahead.
All right. So, three sponsors bringing us the poetry action for tonight. We do need to mention them. Naturebox.com. You want to write a lot. You want to live a long life. You want to be healthy while you're doing it. Then you're going to want to check out naturebox.com. Basically, healthy snacks are delivered to your door on a subscription basis. You can check them out. It's a nominal fee per month, and you can live longer by having non-GMO, sugar-free, gluten-free, and trust me, in my life, sugar-free goes a long way nowadays.
Yep.
So check them out, naturebox.com. We love them. They supported us second longest, Good Morning Snore Solution. Now, we all know somebody that snores, and I'm sure you know somebody that snores, Christine.
Oh, yes, I do.
So it's an appliance you wear while you're sleeping. Check them out. The link's on the website. Basically, it limits your snoring or disables your snore mode. Well, kind of. I mean, it doesn't 100%, but, you know.
Drastic reduction.
A drastic reduction. Definitely check them out. Good Morning Snore Solution. Thank you guys for supporting World Poetry Open Mic. And last, and certainly not least, you're going to want to check out KNET Books. If you need to learn anything, high school level, college level, master's level, they've got the books. You check them out. You read them, return them to them. You don't have to worry about selling them back to a school or finding someone taking the same course. KNETBooks.com. Check them out. You can learn anything, even how to be a radio host.
Whoa.
I know.
I didn't even know that was in a book.
I took a college course in this, and holy, I still sound this bad.
Do they have Kindle?
I don't know if they do Kindle. That'd be awesome.
E-book.
They might. I think they do e-books.
It's just always so hard to highlight.
Yes.
Yeah, you got to keep clearing the screen.
Yeah.
With a wipe.
Yeah. All right. So what we do here is we do poetry. We want it 1 to 3 minutes long. We want it free of the F-bomb. Obviously, if you have a good flow going, we're going to let you run over the time frame. We've done it several times before. Don't hold us to that 3-minute time frame. We do want it hate speech free. Easy for me to say.
Ooh, good job.
Pardon me while I untie my tongue. And, of course, we do want, if you want to advertise something, put it in a poem, damn it, and read that poem to us. We want to protect our advertisers. They spend good money on us. Other than that, this is a drama-free zone. It's poetry. We love it. We want to hear your spoken word. Give us 5 callers at 720-240-9766.
At 720-240-9766.
Call now. At the Hall of Justice, we are back and we're ready for some poetry. But Before we get into the poets, we do have our five callers. Go ahead and call back during the next segment if you didn't get in this time. We are going to be doing unique callers until we are out of unique callers. That's and then right. do a return engagement segment.
Yes. It's good stuff.
Now, I don't know if we mentioned this in past shows. We've been doing this now three times through when Mike misses around this time of year, and we don't really know, or we don't really tell the listeners why he misses, and
that's true.
You guys were very giving to me and whatnot on my week off, but I think we should give Mike credit. For years and years, he's had this tradition where he goes and plays the graduation of his mother's music students every year at the end of the year, and that's what he's doing tonight. He's playing the graduation of her final class. Anne is retiring this year.
Yeah.
And she is a longtime listener to the show. I know she's not listening tonight, but she'll probably go back and listen to the rebroadcast. So we just want to say, Anne, we love you. Thank you for your dedication to the students and teaching music to generations.
Yes.
You are absolutely an amazing lady, and we love you.
And congratulations.
And congratulations. You're finally free. Actually, she's starting her own music school. So, all right.
Oofta.
I know. Out of the frying pan and into the fire. Here we go. We got five poets lined up from New York. Please welcome, she is Lorraine.
Hello. I have a new respect for the complexity of running a show, by the way. I've been listening to the archives. And there's more than just pressing a button and, you know, hi there. So just want you to know I appreciate you guys.
Thank you. There is a lot that goes on behind the scenes of the show. JT and Michael work their tukuses off, and I am very grateful to them. Well, you know, it's my passion.
Well,
it's my love. It's not work for me. It's not.
It's a labor of love.
It is.
There you go. Well, and that, in fact, do you remember that old, it was a country western song called I Had a Tiger by the Tail? I think it was Buck Owens.
Yeah.
Remember that one?
Love the Bakersfield sound.
I don't know why it came to mind. I was thinking, I had a tiger by the tail, but the fight that did prevail put my sorry ass in jail. Brought me right down to my soul, and now guess what? I'm on parole. I don't know. Just a thought.
Well, that should be written down
somewhere. That's not my... This is for a dear friend, my best friend that I grew up with, and okay, you can get it, what happens through. It's for Carol Ann. You've always been a friend to me. We shared our secrets easily. Through the years, though we were apart, I always had you in my heart. We were like sisters, you and I. We'd laugh until we'd almost cry. We played together, had such fun, through rain and snowstorms, not just sun. Life was an endless summer. September signaled school. We both thought, what a bummer, but we obeyed that golden rule. We shared homework, we shared tests. Sleepovers were not for rest. Disney movies and cartoons had us singing lots of tunes. Even when you moved away, we promised soon there'd be a day when we would meet and chat again. You were so much more than a friend. But then life took an unseen turn, as I was old enough to learn. Came home from work, and I was told that you had died, and I felt so cold. You left an emptiness I've carried, even after I got married. It just proves that nothing lasts forever. Rest in peace, Carol. To my friend. Thank you. I didn't want to be morbid. But
no. And we're not applauding the fact that you lost a friend. We're applauding how you worded it so craftfully. And I'm sorry for your loss.
Well, thank you. She was a great friend. And she always will be.
Always, yeah. She's just looking down from heaven going, why are you sad? I'm enjoying life now.
One of my angels.
I know. I've got lots
Anyhow,
of angels, too.
I'll call you later, I guess.
All right. Thank you, Lorraine.
Okay. Thank you so much, guys. And I love all of you.
Thank you. Care. We love you, too. That was Lorraine on World Poetry Open Mic, the next evolution in poetry radio.
What?
Misfire.
What?
Finally, it doesn't work. Oh, darn it.
That was one of those special boomerang baseballs.
I'm sorry. Was I supposed to do the...
No, thank you.
No. You almost good. Sound like Tigger when you did that. That was kind of cool.
My nickname used to be Tigger many, many years ago.
Okay. Next caller.
Anyway. Next caller. She likes to bounce and bounce and bounce and bounce and have so much fun. The wonderful thing about Jalorian is she's the only one.
Oi.
Hello.
Hello. How are you?
I am good. How are you?
Doing good. So, you've got a poem for us?
I do have a poem for you tonight, and the one that keeps boiling to the top is called The Poet Before the King.
All right.
I have written nothing, said the poet to the king. I rack my brain each day in vain, yet write not a blessed thing. My poor old brain is tired of thinking all these thoughts, these rhymes half-formed and unadorned that quickly come to naught. Have you read the paper? Cried the poet to the queen. For it is rife with human strife and suffering obscene. I cannot clear the image that lingers in my mind. If there's a god, it strikes me odd that it would be so blind. I find no inspiration, no cause to give a voice. If we should fall and lose it all, we have done so by our choice. We could have just made love. Instead, we have just made war. The garden's lost. We knew the cost. A pity all the more. The king just sat and scowled while the queen learned to crochet, and all the court thought the import was the playing of croquet, and they felt that they'd been robbed by the poet and his pain. His bout of sadness fed their madness, but failed to entertain. So they pelted him with apples and booed him from the stage. His fervent pleas on bended knees served only to enrage. They bound his hands behind him and hung him from the wall. As you'd expect, his fragile neck was broken in the fall. And juggling in their midst, as always, was the fool. And he laughed with joy to think our boy had never learned this rule, the inevitable fact, which only just makes sense. He who deigned to entertain should know his audience.
Love it.
Thank you.
Uh-huh. Jaloriet, very well done. And hey, congratulations. You got a daughter that graduated with like an English degree.
Yes, she did. She did. She's mostly an urban fantasy writer, but she also writes poetry. She called in last week. I'm very proud of her.
You should be proud of her. And you should be proud of yourself. You're quite the poet.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jalorian.
Okay. Have a good night.
Good night. We'll talk to you during the return engagement.
Maybe. I'll try.
All right. I know it's kind of late, but hang in there with us.
Okay.
That was Jalorian on World Poetry Open Mic, the next evolution in Poetry Radio. It's kind of like Jatad, Jalorian.
Jatad.
Yeah. I thought it was Jatad.
Well, it's the French. It's the French pronunciation of my name. Yes.
Jatad.
Jatad.
Jatad. Jete.
Jete.
Hotate.
Oh, that's right. In Spanish, yeah.
All right. So we've got a returning family member from a while ago calling back. Please welcome from Alabama. He is Lloyd.
Hey, good evening, guys.
Hey, good evening. Welcome to our show.
Thanks, man. Thanks. Hey, real quick before I get started, I wanted to ask because it's been a while since I've done one of these. So are you guys still doing two-in-one or?
No, we're doing one poem per phone call. We're doing five phone calls per segment. But at the end, we have a free-for-all that's called the return engagement where we do more than five callers. Whoever wants to return a second time, we allow them on the air a second time.
Excellent. Excellent. Okay.
And we got your submission. We're going to probably kick it back one set, but because it literally would be coming out of this set and playing you again. So we're going to kick it back one set, but we do have your submission as well.
Oh, thanks, man. That's cool.
And it did sound cool. I actually listened to it once we got to the studio through studio headphones, and I'm telling you, magic, my friend.
You're not supposed to open those before the show?
Don't open the gifts before the show?
No!
Oh, darn it.
Oh, jeez.
Nobody told me radio etiquette. Damn it.
That's the class he failed.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry.
Oh,
sorry.
Lloyd, what do you have for us this time, though?
This time, I have a usual mind blower, and it came to me from, actually, I finally had a muse, and I was doing some research on ancient Kemet and ancient civilization. And it inspired this, and it's called The Ninth Gold King, Remembrance.
All right.
So, they didn't understand that the weight of the world had already crushed the spirit of their king. Only a few could see the look of defeat in his eyes as he addressed the people. His words of courageous wisdom, his only redoubt. He smiled graciously as he left them there, cheering in answer to triumph. But as he left, he felt a single tear betray his character as it crept silently beneath his mask of solidarity. A somber sense of achievement at his lips as he gently kissed the crown of his queen and proceeded to his chambers. His heart shattered once more upon recollection of actuality. There was tyranny in the kingdom's court, and just outside the gate were wolves and sorcerers, a spirit of anguish at his window, silently looking out at the world. The presence of his unknown guest meant little, though he was thankful to be in the company of greater misery. There was no shame about the king as he shed his crown and armor. He sighed in relief as he took a seat. Slowly, his feelings of sadness faded once more as he looked upon the spirit with eyes of both understanding and benign curiosity. The unwelcome now greeted his royalty from the neighboring lands. The notions of savagery within their hearts dismissed the child as ignorance. The king saw no end to his affliction. His reign was absolute and insurmountable. He was adored by the people, celebrated even in the absence of his grace, coveted as a symbol of divinity, feeding false hope to the eyes of his people as he alone saw the chaos fast approaching, silently begging for their forgiveness as the final celebration of sanctity commenced. Only the queen saw through his facade that night, and the last remnant of hope came from her gentle caress as she took his hand and met his eyes with a look of both understanding and heartbreak, a spirit of anguish at his window, silently looking out at the world.
Well done, my friend. Where have you been for the last few months? We've missed you.
I've actually been working very, very hard, guys. Back in March, I published my first ebook.
Oh, really? How do we find that?
It's entitled "The Man Called Redemption," and it came from a series of short stories I was doing on All Poetry and Facebook, and I brought it together and I finished it off with about 7 more chapters, and that's part one. But if anybody would like to go and see, I have an author page on Facebook, Lord Fryson Small, and there's also The Man Called Redemption Part 1. It's a book page, and there's a direct-to-buy link in the page.
So, awesome.
I have been working very, very hard, guys, but I've missed you, and I went back. I've been keeping up with the shows. I just finally found the time.
Excellent. Lloyd, thank you very much. And do me a favor, can you post a link to your book on our Facebook page? That way, anybody that's interested in going and get it can go run and go get it.
Right away, sir.
Thank you, brother. And keep listening for yourself, because you're going to be back on in a couple segments or so.
Awesome. I hope the people aren't tired of me. You guys have a good night. Good luck to everyone.
Have a good night. That was Lloyd on World Poetry Open Mic. Reconnecting with family members that have been missing for a while. Definitely a missed voice on our crew. Wow.
Rolling.
Keep them doggies rolling.
I won't finish this.
We're going to go from Alabama. We're going to go up back to the Northeast. Please welcome from Connecticut. She is Barbara. Hello.
Hi.
Hey, welcome to our show.
Hi. I just wanted to say that I don't know what I want to say.
That's all right.
It's Friday, and I'm very happy to be here. Very happy to be here.
Oh, Barbara, we're glad to have you. Now, how was your show? Your show was last night, right?
Yeah, my show was yesterday afternoon, and I had a great show. I had this author. His name is Whit McClendon. And anybody who likes to read fantasy, he did a book called Mage's Burden, and it's really, really good. It's about this kingdom where evil comes. There's evil, and it's really good.
Awesome.
It's called Mage's Burden by Whit McClendon.
I'm going to take the bullet for you. That way Michael could be mad at me. Anybody that wants to check out Barbara's show, check out Red River Radio on blogtalkradio.com. She archives her shows. You can go back and listen to it. It's quite an amazing experience to be a guest on your show. And I can only imagine your show with that author was as good as my experience.
Oh, yeah. He was really good. And we had a great discussion. And it's Tales from the Pages. Can I say that?
Yeah.
Tales from the Pages.
So,
there are a lot of shows on there, but it's Tales from the Pages. And one of our poets, Philip, is going to be on my show in June.
That's right.
So that's going to be awesome.
Everyone's going to want to check that out.
Now, is Philip going to stay sober for the performance, or is he going to drink a little
I
bit
have
before?
No
then?
Idea.
I might tune in just for that.
He's Philip, in the chat room now. I don't know if he's sober now.
No. Philip, we love you, and don't go changing. Don't go breaking my heart.
Don't go breaking my heart.
Barbara, do you have a poem for us?
Sorry, Barbara.
I do. And my poem is going to bring everyone down. It won't bring everyone down, but it's based on a terrible experience that I had in the past month. And it's called Trust.
Okay.
Trust. Delicate as the thin skin of a balloon and given only as... Sorry, let me start again. Delicate as the thin skin of a balloon and given as a gift to only a few, this precious commodity so treasured by many as the only thing worth saving is long-lasting if the one who gives it to returns it like a welcoming smile. And you hone it with honesty and truth, with the few who you deign to bestow this gift upon. Yet occasionally, and when that happens and your own judgment somehow falters, you give it to a fraud, a charlatan dressed as a prince who dangles your faith in a cruel game, and you are duped as if you were blindfolded, and suddenly the world is off kilter and black is white while you wander aimlessly in the morass, left in the vacuum of the air sucking out of your life. In that moment, nothing matters for you, no longer put your faith in anything, where once you were an open book with your arms wide to all, you become closed and withdrawn. You roll up your welcome mat, and with the hard-won knowledge of ignominious defeat, you are bereft of the light that once lit you, and you struggle to find the road back to the one you once were. And the pieces of the sanctity of trust float around you in a circle of deceit, as you poke at them and try to patch it together to move on, broken but mended and ready to climb that long hill back to where belief was more than a word.
Well worded, Barbara. And trust is very hard to mend once it's been broken, isn't it?
It is. It is. And I had a terrible, terrible, terrible experience. And, this is me being mending, you know, this is me mending, because the first poem that I wrote about, the angry poem, that was me after the experience happened, and this is me a little bit more mended, so.
That's good. You can always forgive. You just don't have to open yourself up to be abused again.
Exactly. Absolutely, exactly, and, I can't talk about it here, but it was such an experience that it took the very foundation of my trust, and it turned it upside down. So
I understand. Barbara, we love you here. Welcome to our family. Thank you for sharing that with
us. I love you too, guys.
And we will talk to you during the return engagement, right?
Thank you.
Awesome.
Okay.
That was Barbara on World Poetry Open Mic, the next evolution in poetry radio.
Are we going to do this all night?
All night long.
Oh.
All night long. All night.
Don't we have another? Wait a minute. Don't we have another caller?
We do.
Please tell me we have another caller.
We have another caller to save us from our singing.
Save me, Dennis.
And Michael's going to listen to this going, I'm the singer of the group. Please leave that to me.
Very true.
All right. So welcome from the Poet State, unofficially. He is Dennis.
Hello, Poetry Open Mic.
Hello.
I'm back.
We're glad to have you back, brother.
Yes, and I'm glad to be back. This is still May, the month that we are honoring the Professor Lenny C. Because this month is coming to an end, we are not going to forget this great talent, this inspiration to all of us.
Yeah.
Yes, quite an inspiration.
I do have a poem by Professor Lenny C., and I want to share it with you this evening. The title is Where the Wild Things Are.
All right.
Somewhere in this room, in the hidden places, in the secret space, where the wild things are. Somewhere where the wild things are. Wild women running with wolves, flying where eagles dare, inviting home the boy of a thousand stars, bringing the feminine touch where the wild things are. And the guys who kick out the jams, bursting open the amazing wild ways into passion, asking the wrong questions to get the right answers where the wild things are. So here's to men and women in this room, hidden, secret, that even now, turning the key that unlocks the gate that leads to the magic garden where the wild things are. That's the end.
Hell yeah! Brother, you nailed that.
Well, he is certainly an inspiration. I went and listened to him on YouTube. He's got a lot of great stuff, and I recommend everybody go check him out. What an encouragement to all us poets he was, and what a great loss to Denver and the poetry world.
Yes. Thank you, brother, for honoring him. You're an amazing spirit, and I cannot thank you enough.
Well, it's my pleasure, and I just hope I did his poem a little bit of justice. I will continue to support and read him, and he won't be forgotten, that's for sure.
No, not in my book. He's touched my life and has ingrained himself in my spirit, brother.
Amen to that. Have a great night, and God bless you all.
God bless you, Dennis. That was Dennis on World Poetry Open Mic, the next evolution in poetry radio.
Really?
Woo! Really? Yay! Wow, I broke the fire. Oh,
you keep breaking it. What the heck?
The ball keeps slipping.
That's never mind. We're not going to go.
No,
that.
It's not after dark.
No, it's not.
Dark.
I'm just going to leave that one sit right there. In honor of Lenny, before I do actually a cover of one of his poems, I'm going to do a cover of one of his poems. Actually, he had, when he was on our show, he had a 17-syllable poem that was not
right.
a haiku.
That's
you
right.
Do you remember
this
what it was?
This is not a haiku.
This is not a haiku.
Yep.
So, I've got it logged to memory, actually.
Oh, sweet.
I'm too good for you. You're too good for me. And that is good enough for love. Haiku master approval?
Oh, yeah.
Well, I don't know why you were looking at me, because I ain't the haiku.
Well, no, I was looking for your reaction.
Oh,
to see
yeah,
what
it's
think.
Good.
So,
I
okay,
that.
I was
love
just
that
making
one.
Sure you it's just... stared at me, and it made me nervous.
No, don't get nervous.
Okay.
You're doing fine, Christine.
Well, it's
keep
still...
breathing.
You're
well,
being Michael better than Michael's being Michael right now.
Well, it's the it's the box of hats and the costumes that are hanging.
Yes. Yeah.
And the leather pants that he's making you wear this week, man...
Ooh, thank God.
Chafe.
Thank God the two of us are the same size.
Yes,
totally. It's the chaps I'm worried about.
Yes.
Please tell me I don't have to wear
You
those.
Don't have to wear those.
Oh,
not tonight.
All right, so let's do another Lenny poem. Now, mind you, he was the last link between the Beat Generation and the Denver poetry scene of today.
Yeah.
He took several poets under his wing and educated them. I was more of like a mentor of his by observation more than anything, the way that he hosted open mics, that sort of thing. And trust me, his place, Lenny's place, down in the bottom of Gypsy House Cafe was a veritable who's who of the Denver literature scene. It was amazing to go there. This is one he did on our show back in 2013. This is entitled, Am I the Only One? I can smell the blood in the water before the shark bites. Am I the only one? Am I the only one? Yeah, never mind what people say. I can hear what they mean. Am I the only one? Am I the only one? Yeah, some of the voices in my head are playful puppies, and some are junkyard dogs. Am I the only one? Am I the only one? Yeah, I can smell the blood in the water before the shark bites. Okay, I'm not the only one. Okay, I'm not the only one. And that was Lenny C. in his vest right there.
That's good stuff, man.
So... Lenny, you are a one missed poet, my friend.
Yeah.
And with that being said, me doing Lenny, we're going to go ahead and open up the phone lines. Now is the time to call. If you're on the central coast of California, call 720-240-9766.
If you're east of the Rockies, call 720-240-9766.
If you're south of the North Pole or north of the South Pole, call 720-240-9766.
And if you are on Venus or Mars, call 270-240-9766.
That's 720.
Did I say 720? Yes, oh, you said whatever. I right. tried.
It was funny.
Call now. Hell yeah, the Professor Lenny C. bringing us out of commercial break. I'm so glad we got that when he was in the studio with us.
I am too. It was really fun.
Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I was just going to say, for those of you, because obviously you can't see him, J. Todd was actually wiggling in his chair.
He was.
I got to say, we had shelved that for a bit, and then the night that he passed away, you had played, or the night before he passed away,
yeah.
You had played that out of the blue, and I'm like, oh, we need to go see Lenny.
And then,
yeah. And then we got the news.
It was wild. Yeah.
Wow. So, synchronicity in the world?
Yeah, kind
working of. On our behalves?
Probably.
Speaking of synchronicity, we've got five of the best lined up, another five of the best. The only reason why they're five of the best is because they're the ones that are coming up next.
Oh,
but,
and the chat room explodes.
Batting first, please welcome from New York. He's not a Yankee, but he is Leo.
Hello.
Hello.
How you doing?
Doing good. Your therapist is out. We have a reserve therapist. Her name is Christine. You can begin your session at any point in time.
I'm glad that I got the info on the chat room. I didn't want to call Christine Mike by mistake because I haven't had my therapy yet, you know. So I'm really glad they gave me the heads up.
I'm glad they gave you the heads up, too, because that would have been really weird if you'd called Christine Mike.
Then I would have been in the right place for the next therapy session because I would have really needed it bad.
Exactly. I think after this show, Mike might need the therapy at this point.
Well, if I start calling Mike Christine, then definitely it's going to be something.
That's going to be funny.
That will be funny.
No, Mike's only Christine on Saturday nights, not Friday nights.
Oh. Is that why my clothes are missing?
Yeah. You guys are the same size.
Dang.
Oh, my God. I'm going to have to give Mike my a freebie therapy session just in case.
Yes.
Just one of mine. Okay. I'm glad to be here, guys. So I know that you guys are running with a lot of artists, so let me just run into this. I've been finding a lot of unfinished poems and trying to finish them. So I'm going to read one that I just finished today. Hopefully, and to see what you guys think.
All right.
It's untitled, so I'm just going to read it whenever you're ready.
And we're ready.
Okay. This is me. This is he that has been developed to a T. Not perfectly, but progressively. And even if I do say so myself, learning valuable lessons has accumulated quite a bit of wealth. I've dealt with the highs and also the lows. I've seen the heavens open, and hell has pulled me down below. But so far, I've not since remained at the bottom. The view may not look good to you, but many shiny pieces I've gotten from here. I've not dropped from fear of what you might see, whether practical or sentimental. What I have has value to me, and it was surely made especially for me so that I can walk on the path that's meant for me. What's sent to me is like textbooks that show how to pass the tests that eventually come. Life is a school with many students, you know. Why worry about those in grades above or below? Those under me will learn in their own time. And those above know much more than I can conceive in my mind. So no reason to be annoyed at any of them. We will all graduate. It's not if we do, but when. So then, enough with the fuss about who has what. Stop placing importance on what we got or don't got. Let's not fall into those traps. And maybe, perhaps, we could just meet in the lunchroom and hang as a bunch while we're eating that crap that they call lunch. End poem.
You must eat at the same lunchroom I do. Holy cow.
Sounded like a public school system there.
Aww.
It's a public therapy session.
Yes. Group therapy at this point, because I'm sure everybody's experienced that kind of lunchroom.
Yeah.
Yes, that's true. That's true. But thanks, guys, for giving me some time to share. I appreciate it.
Always welcome on our show. You're welcome even to call back during our return engagement later.
Thanks. I will try.
Awesome. Thank you, Leo.
Take care.
That was Leo on World Poetry Open Mic, the next evolution in poetry radio.
Oh, jeez.
Nice.
Over and over.
Yeah, because he's got a net and he keeps fishing those balls out of the lake.
That's right.
And you know, and the listeners are so lucky because then it would end up with Michael doing some sort of cat growl thing, and then some owl shows up.
He ended last night or last week.
Oh, he stopped doing it
last week.
Oh.
However, he's probably sitting at home, and every time I say World Poetry Open Mic, the next evolution of poetry radio is what he's doing.
Could you see that? Oh, jeez. I could just see it. He's playing at a graduation and go in the middle of the song.
It's like a sixth sense.
Stop it.
Yeah. It's like a sixth sense. He knows what I said.
Stop touching the keyboard.
Performance.
All these poor listeners.
All right. So,
somebody save me.
How about a new caller saving us?
Sweet. I like that.
We have a new caller from my home area, actually. Actually, back when the 408 stretched out to the coast. He is Vinod from Fremont, California.
Hey there.
Hey, welcome to our show.
Hey, thank you, and thanks for taking the time to take my call.
Ah, not a problem. You got a poem you'd like to share with us?
Yes, I've got a poem. I actually published my book sometime in 2011, and when I published it and I took it to a friend of mine, he told me, hey, you're going to make money out of the poems? And that's the first time I thought that you can think about making money, because that's not why you wrote first.
Yeah.
So I thought that I should give him an answer, and I wrote a poem for him and published that in my second book.
Okay.
And
are you reading that poem?
I want to read that. I'm going to read that poem.
All right, let's go ahead and hear it.
Yeah. It's called Why Poetry. Poetry gives your life back to you. The life that you abandon on the busy street. The life that you let people trample on. The life that you lost in the corporate corridors. Poetry gives that life back to you. Poetry tells you that you're more than what the mirror can ever show you. More than what you can see in others' eyes. Much more than what your senses can ever savor. Poetry tells you that you're much more. Poetry gives you a sense of hope, the hope that there will always be a tomorrow, the hope that it would be better than today, the hope that you and I will be there to see it. Poetry gives you and me the hope. Poetry empowers you to feel the pain of the millions unknown, to feel the plight of those dead, alive, and to be born, to acknowledge the existence of things other than you. Poetry empowers you to be a human. Poetry challenges you to respond. Respond to the meaning hidden in the words. Respond to the silent requests in the lines. Respond to those for whom it is written. Poetry challenges you to change the world. Poetry makes you believe again. Believe that you can do it now. Believe that it is always worth. Believe that goodness prevails. Poetry makes you believe beyond limits. Poetry is all you will have in life. When silence becomes unbearable, when loneliness also unfriends you, when you are the last life form on earth, poetry is all you will have in life. Thank you.
Very well done, Vinod.
Thank you.
Where can people find your books? Because that was a great poem.
It's in Amazon. It's, this poem is in a book called Precious Womb to Priceless Tombs.
Nice. All right. And they just look up Vinod?
Yeah, Vinod Narayan. N-A-R-A-Y-A-N.
Very good. Don't stop calling our show. I really enjoy your work.
Yeah, I'll be here. I'll be logging in regularly now.
Excellent. Thank you very much.
You're doing a great show.
Thank you.
Thank you.
That was Vinod on World Poetry Open Mic, the next evolution in poetry radio. Nice. Bringing it home.
It's like preschoolers, not the callers, the two of you.
Well, it's always like preschoolers with us. Haven't you? You've known us for 16 plus years. Of course we're like preschoolers.
No. How old are our daughters? Okay, that's how long we've known each other.
You've known us for 19 plus years because I can't add.
I'm telling your daughter.
I know, right? All right. So to save me from my poor math skills, we have from Kentucky, he is Philip.
Hello.
Hello. Welcome to our show, my friend.
Well, I appreciate this. Is this Sir J. Todd?
Yes, it is. Is this Sir Philip?
I'm so happy to hear your voice, sir. I just wanted to say, you know, I heard there was, you know, whatever, blah, blah, blah in the past weeks, and I just appreciate that you're out of that debacle, whatever that was, family or otherwise. You know, I know how that is.
You know what?
You know?
Sometimes life throws you a curveball, and you just do your best to swing away at it. Sometimes you hit it, sometimes you don't.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that's just marvelous, and I really appreciate that. And I will try to be quick and get out of your young gentleman's way, because I know how handsome all you fellers are. And I just know that there are women there waiting for you at the bar and et cetera, and I'm blabbing. Oh, my goodness. Everybody in the world is just, like, laughing here. But let me, I am going to embarrass Barbara E., okay, and the title is Boldly, Perhaps Dumbly, No More Regrets for Embracing My True Nature While Nurturing the Beast Inside the Man. For Barbara E., a fine and respectable lady who encourages my scribbler's craft with a kind nod from her maternal wisdom. And I mean that truly. She is a wonderful woman. She's invited me on her show, and I am truly honored. That's my title and my dedication, and here it goes. Heat was oppressive the summer of my unkempt 23rd year. Humidity clung to my thick torus neck, a taut salt noose that dangled my body in the sweaty breezes. Lived in a prison cell with yellow walls, a masculine version of Charlotte Perkins Gilman's classic story. Past horrors memorized while future booze got me through lonesomeness. Nights spent with my big Cadillac IBM typewriter, I'd pound pleasurably like a smart madam of lusty enthrall. Fatigued by poems and stories, I chewed codeine tablets or magic shrooms and wandered the midnight city with suicidal pity. Had no phone, received no mail. My hours spent with pensive companion volumes read by the uneducated savage, Remitable Caliban, respectively genuflecting toward Prospero, chosen as a mentor, no longer an enemy to be feared. And there it is, my fine gentleman. Thank you so much. Appreciate it.
Very well done, my friend.
Thank you, sir.
I'm looking forward
to hope to hear you for the second segment.
I'm not going to be able to catch the performance on Barbara's show live, but I will be checking out the archives on that to see how you do.
She is a wonderful woman, and I am very honored by her appreciation of my yada, yada, yada. You got it. And I really appreciate you fellows. I really do. You guys are wonderful, so thank you so much, and be well.
Thank you. And I just want to say, Philip, your yada, yada, yada is every bit as good as my yada, yada, yada.
Okay. Oy. I'm glad we're all yada, yada, yada on the same page. Yes, sir.
There you go. Hopefully we'll hear from you during the return engagement.
Cheers.
Cheers, brother. That was Philip on World Poetry Open Mic. I'm laughing too hard. Philip on World Poetry Open Mic, the next evolution in poetry radio. His titles. There's only one word that can describe the titles to his poem. Epic.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
It's good stuff.
And the titles are poems in their cells, and then the poem's really good, too.
Very much so.
All right. So we've got a returning new caller from last week. Please welcome to the line from Florida. She is Rosemary.
Hello.
Hello. Welcome back to our show.
I'm so irritated. I can't hear anything. This is not going to happen again.
I understand. You're going to want to download the Mixlr app on your phone, and you can definitely check it out that way, too.
Yeah, I will. Because I'm reading all the comments, so I think what a bitch it is. I can't hear anything. So I can say that, can I? That's not such a bad word.
No, that's not hate speech.
Frustrated speech.
Okay. That's frustrated speech, not hate speech.
Okay, so anyway, instead of reading something dark, because I like to write the dark stuff, because it says something for me, but this is the title. I wrote this about 3 weeks ago, and the title will tell you that it's light. So this is called Inspire. The desire to inspire, like a budding tree within the soul, with humility and gratitude, a destined spirit will not elude. To hearken to the voices of the desperate and the poor, to understand life's purpose, people have a heart, like an eagle you will soar. To rally to the sick your arms around the world, shielding the helpless from bricks of anger that are hurled. To have a voice that matters, words of kindness and grief for the forgotten, the shriveled, and the shattered. When the light is what you seek, joy is what you have, for God stands beside you on your lonely path. To grasp the love beyond with words of undiluted love, the unbreakable human bond. When you embrace your brother, no war, disease, or strife, the power of your voice is the strength within your life. People, speak out, face your fears and your doubt, for the spoken word is power. Know it. Every second, every minute, every day, and every hour, choose to inspire. The end.
Very well done, Rosemary.
And do you, are you still having the third segment where you call in?
We're actually going to have more than three segments. We're going to open up one more segment to see if anybody else wants to call in. Then if we don't fill up, we're going to go ahead and do a return engagement after that, okay?
And we will post that into the chat room.
We'll post in the chat room when we start the return engagement calls, okay?
Yeah, so, I might call. It's just so frustrating. Now I know what it's like to be deaf, okay?
I understand.
I understand.
Okay, thank you so much, guys. Thank you.
Thank you, Rosemary. That was Rosemary on World Poetry Open Mic, the next evolution in poetry radio.
Kerplunk.
Kersplash.
Kersplash.
Whatever.
So
it's a curse something.
It's a curse something.
Kerfuffle.
Kerfluffle.
Mmm.
Taste of Jerusalem falafel after we're done here. Anyway, mind always goes to food.
Yeah, it does, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does.
We have a nervous caller.
We have a nervous caller. We're going to go from Florida to the land that's miles and miles or nothing but miles and miles this between Denver and Las Vegas. Please welcome from Utah, he is Kevin.
Is it my turn? You want me to go now?
It is your turn, Kevin. Where are you at in Utah?
I live in Brigham City. I'm about 60 miles north of Salt Lake City.
Oh, so you're in the beautiful part of Utah, actually.
Yeah, up in northern Utah.
Gotta love that.
Well, folks, first-time caller, love your show. And this is a poem that I wrote several years ago that, you know, I get a little bit choked up. It is kind of hard for me sometimes, but I'll try to get through it. I'll go ahead and start anytime you're ready.
All right.
Okay, this poem is called The Road to Lonely. A man in black pulled me aside before I came to Earth. He said, I will prepare you for the life after your birth. Tomorrow you will find yourself beginning a great race, and if you want to finish first, you cannot slow your pace. The road to your success is long and overgrown with thorns. The winner gets a kingdom, so ignore the cries and mourns. The next day, I entered the race advised by my dark friend, Pat Goodson, and hurried off to be the first to reach the end. I noticed to the left and right were those who'd gone before. At first, I saw them seldom. As I went, I saw them more. Some had fearful faces as they cried out for my hand to help them return to the road and free them from the sand. But I'd received a warning of the one stuck in the quick, and I knew that I would join them if I did not scorn their trick. Further down the road, I happened on a boy who couldn't see. He asked directions to the road. I passed him quietly, and I gave not what he wanted, but I gave him lots of space. The road led to my kingdom, and he might have won the race. Then I saw an older couple who were freezing in the snow, asking only for a blanket from my stock of five or so. Yet I told them I was sorry and that I had men to spare, for the man in black had warned me I would find those liars there. Then I saw a little baby needing milk and food to eat, crying wildly for her mother, who lay starving by the street. When she asked me for a tidbit so her child, so fair, could live, I could tell I still had plenty, but I still had none to give. As I passed, I called out gently, "Over this way, baby dear, for it's here you'll find your mother. I must go. The end is near." All these people seemed so honest and their stories were so real, but the man in black had warned me that I must be hard as steel, so I continued unrelenting as the multitudes cried out, till I reached my destination, where my heart was filled with doubt, for I noticed that beyond the line, not one soul could I see. It was only dark and lonely at the finish line for me, and my heart, which was so selfish, was then overcome with guilt, for the emptiness before me was the kingdom I had built. I had made myself a loser, and the prize was not to gain. And rightly so. Why should I win while others are in pain? So I'm going back to help all those that asked my time to loan for gardens, even for a king, grow not till seeds are sown. And even should I tarry till another wins the race, when I return, I'll wear a smile upon this saddened face. And though my hands are bleeding from the wounds of all my labors, I'll not return till I can fill this land with friends and neighbors. And I want to thank y'all for your time.
Wow.
Whoa!
Great job. Great job.
Kevin, you had me emotional over that. That was very, very good poem. Are you still there?
Well, thank you very much. I turn the phone off now and listen to you back online.
All right. Okay. Thank you, brother.
Thank you.
That was Kevin on World Poetry Open Mic, the next evolution of poetry radio. You know what I liked about that one?
Holy
that,
shnikes.
That came at you from a lot of different angles, actually.
It did.
It had some element of cowboy poetry. It had some element of Christian poetry. Almost a Dr. Seuss, would you call it bridge, in the middle of it? I mean, it was,
yeah, kind
was,
of,
it was
yeah.
very complex.
It was very,
art.
But, oh, really good.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's all I got is wow. Wow. I mean, I can't make silver rhyme with anything.
Well, no. So, but
I think I just broke J-Todd.
Orange is a toughy one for me. But
orange is tough. Purple. Yeah.
Nurple?
Well.
You're just leaving me alone is what you're doing. All right. So we're going to go. Since Christine's filling in for Michael, why don't we just have her read a submission like
I think
does?
So. I think that would be great.
I can do that, I hope.
You'll do fine.
So this one is from Nicholas T. Carlin. I hope I got that right. I don't see a title on it, so we'll just go for it. It's dark, but I can see clearly where I want to be. I feel my way to grab what I need. I stood on the chair and put my neck through the hole, like I was whole again, seeing my past, dreaming of the future, remembering that I still had hope. Hope that life will get better. Hope that my dreams come true. Hope that I could cry again. That then it happened. I slipped and fell from the chair and fell into the air, struggling to live, but my life wasn't there. I couldn't break free from the grasp of gravity. I couldn't move anymore, but then I felt something quiet, warm, a tear jerked down my face, steaming my cheek like it was a race. A smile, a crooked smile, ran across my face. I closed my eyes and accepted my fate. I was happy in the end as my life slipped away. My tears were mine and only mine to claim.
Nice. Very well done.
Oh, thank you very much.
Well, well read. Well written by Nick.
Yeah, that's Nick. Beautiful. Great I job. Like that.
Wow. We have the greatest submitters, callers. Let's just face it. We've got a great poetic platform building here.
We
this
do.
Is very cool.
Woo!
Woo! Now, I got to say, you know, I was thinking about it while these posts were reading.
If you'd taken, he's thinking.
I know. If you'd taken Poe, Whitman, Kipling aside and said, you know, someday in the future you're going to have a way that, you know what you're doing in these parlors where you're reading your poetry? People from all over the world are going to be able to share their poetry the same way that you're doing it in this parlor here. They'd be like, where do we start? Wait, so, actually, Poe would be like, that's cool.
Cute. So,
all right.
So I got a quick Fun Fact Friday.
Oh, it is Friday Fun Fact.
It is.
Fun Fact Friday.
Fun Fact Friday.
Fun Fact Friday?
No, fact.
Oh, fact.
Ready?
Got it.
Yeah.
Go!
Did you know you weigh less when the moon is directly overhead?
No, I didn't.
Yeah, by about 0.5 grams.
Dun-dun-dun.
Every little bit helps when you're as big as I am.
Yeah, and if you had to travel to, and if you were on the moon, it'd be a very expensive diet.
How's that?
Just because it takes a few million to get you up there?
That's a very expensive diet.
That's true.
Just to be lighter.
Well,
but your mass didn't change.
Oh,
science.
There you go.
Blinded me with science.
He is the Bill Nye of the poetry crowd. He is the half squash. We need to get science. A theme song for Fun Fact Friday. Michael, if you're listening, damn it, make a theme song for Fun Fact Friday.
I think he'll work on it.
All right. So we are not doing the return engagement. I want to make this very clear. This is not a return engagement segment. So we're taking five unique callers. As long as you start calling in now, 720-240-9766.
Oh, I'm sorry. I usually go right after you.
I know,
got like all excited. 720-240-9766. Hey, I got it right this time.
There you go. If you're a new caller, if you're an old caller that has not had a turn yet tonight, please give us a call, 720-240-9766.
I thought I was dreaming as I stared down the corridor that seemed to never end. Warm, soulful colors being overshadowed and dismayed by a chilling breeze. I cringed at the sight of the first door, painted an ominous, decrepit crimson. I approached the door and watched it slowly swing open. In the center of a room, there was a boy bound to a chair with no restraints. He sat there, staring directly into my eyes as I surveyed the walls of his domain. Pain was evident in that room, and I soon came to realize that his feelings of rage may have been justified by his own trials. I did not enter that place for fear of my own rage. Instead, I took a step back, broke his gaze, as the door started to ease shut. A few moments passed before I came to another door, painted pitch black and outlined with beautiful artistry. I opened the door with a sense of anxious curiosity at my fingertips and looked upon the figure of a woman in black. She stared out of the window, motionless and silent. I carefully surveyed the room as she stood there. It appeared to me that she was the one who created the designs on the outside of the door. I reached out to touch the beautiful artwork on the wall, but heard her whisper, "He would have loved them also." I looked back at her as I lowered my hand and asked, "Has he never seen them?" She did not respond with words, but as the door started to close, I heard her start to cry. So, I decided to call her room Sorrow and rested my head against the frame as I said a silent prayer for her. After my kind words were done, I continued down the hall, confused by my discoveries and anxious at the thought of what lied ahead. I walked on for what must have been hours before reaching the next door. It was pale and scarred, and as I stood there waiting for the door to open, my mind was flooded with my own memories of pain and hardship. Without a second thought, I started to run as fast as I could. I did not know how true it was, but I perceived that door to be my own, and I started to run even faster at the thought of my undoing. I ran to the point of utter exhaustion, tears in my eyes and reoccurring memories of flame and retribution in my mind. I sat alone in the part of the corridor where the light of day had not yet touched, furious at the depth of my own fears. I could not detain these emotions. It was a very long time that I sat there, oblivious to the loathsome bitter chill. I thought about going back to the door and what would happen if I could face my own horrors. In my mind, it was easy to depict the grand battle between my transgressions and that, but in reality, I was set free, but at the same time, tragically constrained by my own mind. And I felt alone. I felt defeated. I tried to lie down in the darkness just to collect myself, but I touched something hidden behind the veil of shadow. It was another door. When I realized that I overlooked another piece of the puzzle in my sense of panic, I was overjoyed. I quickly stood and waited for the door to open, but I heard a voice whisper from behind me, "Look at me." I looked back in shock, but no one was there. When I turned back to the door, it was open. The great stone door had silently opened as I turned to greet the whisper. I stepped inside of the room, only to be overwhelmed by a vision of majesty. In the middle of what seemed like the throne room of a castle were beautiful depictions of almost every wonder in nature, shaded in darkness, silent and empty. As I stepped toward the throne, I began to hear indistinct voices that seemed to occasionally speak loud enough for me to make out single words. Betrayer, scornful, slothful. I looked around to find the accusers, but to no avail. I was shocked as I heard a voice cry out as thunder,
"Let him see!
Let him see!
The voices were gone before the echo could fade, and I began to feel a calling from the ancient seat. I walked over and took note of its design and condition, a deep sense of familiarity in the back of my mind. I heard a voice cry out, "Do you not remember me, my friend? We built the House of Four Nations. It was I who opened the door as you stepped down from the throne."
We are the next evolution in poetry radio.
Dun, 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 dun.
You didn't reload the baseball?
Oh, I'm sorry.
I was trying to get you on the double up there.
I dun-dun-dun-dunned him. He got a little confuzzled.
Yeah.
So, we did not have any callers for that segment. So
we had callers, but they were already...
Yeah, they were repeats, and we said it was not going to be repeats. So what we're going to do is I'm going to read one of my own poems.
Okay.
We're going to come back and have Christine read another submission.
Okie dokie.
And then we're going to open it up for the return engagement.
Yes.
So, for those listening at home, return engagement's coming soon. I'm going to do a poem that one honorable mention during that month that I was winning, entering all sorts of crazy contests. Mm. They had a picture on this one of a girl sitting on a bed with a creature underneath the bed with glowing eyes and said, "That's your prompt." So, I wrote this poem. It's entitled, "Who?" The owl's lullaby floats on the wind, soothing me to sleep at night, alone in the dark without a friend, and my bedroom doesn't feel right. His words echo the question in my mind, who echoes again and again as my thoughts wander to who I will find waiting in the darkness to tuck me in. Who is in my closet lurking? Who is hiding under my bed? Who's in my toy box smirking? Who are these villains within my head? My imagination running away with me as the owl sings his mournful song. The dangerous thoughts are all set out to be free, longing for comfort from dad or mom. I pulled the covers over my head without a peep as these anxious thoughts fill me through. But the owl's song eases me to sleep as he repeatedly inquires, who?
Ooh. I really like that one.
That's
cool.
Thank you. That was amongst some really good poetry. I'm very honored that I even got an honorable mention because there were some really good writers in that contest. And if you guys want to give contests a try, I go to one of two different sites. I go to allpoetry.com, and this is a free advertising forum. Mike, don't kill me, all right? I go to allpoetry.com. You can find me there in writerscafe.org.
That's right.
And then there's a third one that I post on, but I'm not as active there, but it was where I got my start, and that's the starlightcafe.com.
Yeah.
So, but that's going back to like 2004. That's where I met Lewis.
That's right.
And he hasn't called in a while. Goodness.
No.
That's all right. He'll call again.
Yeah, he will.
We're kind of like a bad addiction. You just, you try to get away, and then Friday night comes around, and you're like, oh, I got to get back.
I got a call.
So, and you got a call. No.
No.
After Christine Reeds.
After Christine Reeds.
Oh, geez. I was getting confused there. I know. Like, wait a minute.
No, you weren't confused. I was confused.
It's getting passed around.
Yes.
He can't find a button.
No.
See, I throw everybody's rhythm off.
It's okay.
I think it's more
the lack of Michael than you throwing us off. Because if you were here and Michael was here, I think I'd be okay.
Oh.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So you're saying that Michael is the glue that holds the show together?
No.
More like the silly putty that holds the show together.
That's a little bit better.
Okay.
All right. So we got another submission here. This is from Steve Janky. I'm going off of, or it's Yankee. If the J sounds like a Y, I don't know.
Unless it's an H and he's Hispanic, it's honky.
Oh,
I'm just kidding. It's Steve Jake. You're okay.
Sorry. Oh, yeah, yeah. Okay. This one is called Orphanage Yard 1971.
Okay.
Little orphan child, hurt because of war, hiding very safely there behind your heart's door. Little orphan child, staring at the ground. Don't know what I expected today, but this is what I found. Please let me sit down next to you and help you grieve today. Our silence doesn't matter, there are no words to say. Let us come on back again. Our time we gladly lend. Let us come on back sometime. We just want to be your friend. You're so sad.
Wow.
Sweet. Wow, Steve.
I can't do it when it's little kids. I was kind of hoping to get out of this one.
Yeah.
Because the other one he submitted is even more heartbreaking. So
we'll let Michael do that next.
Okay, yeah. Good.
All right.
Not that I don't love what you do, Steve. It's beautiful.
It is.
Oh, my goodness.
Steve, I got to confess, the work that you do touches a chord with JT and myself. Both our fathers were Vietnam-era veterans. Yours too?
Yeah.
Yeah. My stepdad and my father were both in the Navy. My stepdad was part of the Muddy Water Navy.
Okay.
So.
And where did your dad serve? I think he was Germany, wasn't he?
No, my dad served. When he served, he was at Okinawa.
Okay.
So.
Wow, your dad and my dad might have known each other. My dad was in Okinawa too. So
probably.
But your dad was Army, right?
Yes.
And my dad, Jarhead.
No, that's okay.
My uncle was Jarhead too. He was in country. He never really came back from Vietnam. I mean, we got our uncles, but
yeah.
He just wasn't the same person. There was a lot wrong at that point. But Steve, thank you for your great contributions. In honoring veterans of that era, there was a lot of mistakes made when people came back from Vietnam.
Yeah.
And I see it every day.
That's right. You work at the VA, right?
Yep. I give my time, my days, and my blood, sweat, and tears to my veterans. I love them. Wouldn't work anywhere else.
Yes. When we go off air, I got something I got to share for you.
Oh, but no, this is never good.
I can't share it on the air. That's how bad it is.
Uh-oh.
All right. So you're going to want to call now, 720-240-9766. This is the return engagement. If you called before, this is the time that you're going to get through.
Definitely call that number, 720-240-9766. Can't wait to hear from you guys again.
Or you can call this number, 720-240-9766. Call now. Doom. Doom. We're all doomed.
Oh, no, 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 no.
Beware of Camp Blood.
No, no, it's the Doom song. Doom, 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 doom,
my sister would doom, doom. She's like, you guys need to sing it right.
Doom, 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 doom.
All right.
Doomy, doomy, doom.
Oh, you guys didn't even get what movie that was from. That was for you radio angry professors.
I ain't a professor.
What? You missed that? You want me to do it again?
Uh-oh. No, I'll process it.
I saw the steam coming out from underneath the headphones.
I have an idea, but I won't voice it right now.
All right. We'll wait till we get Leo on the line.
Yeah.
Leo, you are batting off our return engagement. Please. How you doing? Another segment?
Hello.
Hello.
I'm going to make it a habit. I'm going to get spoiled if you keep putting me on number one over here.
Well, we could make you number two.
I'm so glad. Thank goodness I've graduated to the next level. Okay, I'm glad to be here. Let me just, before I get myself in trouble, just go on and read. I have something that's called Get Up. And if I can get up and find my glasses here, I can read this in here. Let me see. Okay, good. Gotta get up. Can't stay down. And I won't wait around till my muscles weigh a ton, when too much age has won. So I'm waging war against procrastination scores. Those scores are higher than mine. And doing nothing is a worse crime than defeat. If I still can get on my feet, I gotta get up and meet my foes' heaps of tricks. I'll be taking some licks, but I'll lick my wounds and stick a Band-Aid on. My heart will play on to the tune of You Gotta Be Strong. I may not be the best dancer, but I'll dance all night long if I have to, and laugh to the sounds of my toes being stomped. But I'll go another round, even as I feel another pounding of fists to my face. Yet through all of the aches and pains, my main focus is to hear the last bell. Then I'll give a victorious yell. I may not win anything, hell, but I'll know I got up each time I fell. I can't even tell how many times with each fall I wanted to give it all up. But instead I crawled up to the ropes and I pulled. 'Cause the one thing that I ruled was not to be ruled by the thought of a fool who thinks laying down will bring satisfaction around. I need to be bound by a contract that sounds good to my ears. I need no flattery here. No ego feeding will cure. That'll bring me down for sure. Only the allure of I've done all I can bring me to land from the seas that demanded the souls of so many. But I'm not giving up mine. No. I'm telling myself that I'm going to be fine. A little beaten and scarred, but my heart will shine. Just knowing that I'm not beaten inside, letting the desire to persevere become my guide. End point.
Very well done, Leo.
Thank you.
Your therapy for the week is complete. Go forth and sin no more. But if you do sin, come on back next Friday night.
Okay. This man is healed.
I will.
Sorry.
Well, I just have to get in trouble so that I can have a reason to come back.
There you go. Then you'll be in good company, brother.
Okay. All right. Well, thanks again for tonight. I had a great time.
Thank you, Leo. That was Leo and World Poetry Open Mic, the next evolution in poetry radio.
Oh, my goodness. This is still going on.
So, yeah, it's brand new.
I got a lot of baseballs to use.
Oh, that's it. I'm hiding them.
No.
Not my baseballs.
Well, I won't be on next week, so that's okay.
There you go. All right, so
I will save everyone.
Your guess for that movie quote was?
Wrong movie.
No, but what was it? Seriously. So people following along at home can get the idea of Radio Angry and what your knowledge is.
So, okay.
Oh, dang.
We're doing like an extended advertisement for your podcast.
All right, so campy kind of thing. A few camp movies come into mind, but one definitely does not fall, you know, like, into that. At first, I was thinking Meatballs, but that doesn't work.
No.
Because it wasn't doomed. It was just fun. It's the only doomed camp I know is Crystal Lake.
Yes.
Okay.
There are a lot of doomed camps.
And that was Ralph from Friday the 13th Part 2.
Part 2.
Back when it was a cool series, not before number 7, where Jason was in outer space. And
I'm sorry. Really I weird. Thought all of those were kind of campy movies.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
But then again, I laughed at The Exorcist, so.
Yeah.
I did too, thanks to a certain radio show host.
So sorry. I am so sorry.
That is so funny.
All right, so story goes. I'm totally in this artsy mood that it was the 30th anniversary of The Exorcist.
On the edge of your Squatch seat.
And I decide we're going to go see this on the big screen at the Continental.
Yeah.
And I'm totally in this artsy mood. I'm really into the film. And it gets to the part where the bed's bouncing around the room. And he leads over. He's like, Craftmatic 666. And I just start dying right there in the theater.
Took him completely out of his mode. And I went
manic. Yeah.
Like flipping a switch sometimes.
It is.
Or like a clap-on.
Just had Monster and I'm manic. Anyway. So, we have another poet. Please welcome from Connecticut. She is Barbara.
Hello, guys.
Hello.
I didn't know if I was going to get on yet or not, so
We kind of got tangential there, and Michael's going to ream us out for it in our production meeting, but that's all right.
I don't go to those.
I just want to let you guys know that Roger's in the chat room, and he can call in on Skype, and I think you should let him get on the show.
Well, no, I would love to let him on the show. We're in the last segment. We've already got all our callers booted up, but we may try to see what we can do. Let's see if we can work something out, all right?
Yeah, just let him, you know, on the show.
We try to. It's not on our end.
He tries so hard. And he has Skype and everything. So, you know, anyway.
All right, so do you have a poem to share with us?
I do. Jay Todd, you remember that you put up that bogus, but we didn't know it was bogus.
Oh, yes. I was actually reading it to the crew, the news article. I've got to say,
so cruel.
I read that news article for those that don't. In fact, I could pull it up real quick. I'll read it real quick. That way they have something to compare with.
It's a very good preface to my poem.
All right. Great. Hold on for just one moment while I pull this up here.
Do, 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 do.
No.
Oh,
Jeopardy
sorry.
Theme.
No. Okay. Da 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 da.
All right, so this was a news article I posted on Facebook. I had no clue that it was actually on Snopes. This is about a couple in Florida, Tito and Amanda Watts, were arrested a few days ago for selling golden tickets to heaven to hundreds of people. They sold their tickets on the street for $99.99 per ticket, told buyers that the tickets were made of solid gold, and that each ticket reserved the buyer a spot in heaven. Simply present the ticket at the pearly gates and you're in. Tito Watts said in his police statement, I don't care what the police say. The tickets are solid gold, and it was Jesus who gave them to me behind the KFC and said to sell them so I could get some money to go to outer space. I met an alien named Stevie who said if I got enough cash together, he'd take me and my wife on his flying saucer to a planet made entirely of drugs. You should arrest Jesus because he's the one that gave me the gold tickets and said to sell them. I'm willing to wear a wire to set Jesus up.
Amanda Watts said in her police statement, "We just wanted to leave Earth and go to space and do drugs. I did nothing. Tito sold the golden tickets to heaven. I just watched." Police said they confiscated over $10,000 in cash, drug paraphernalia, and a baby alligator. On a semi-related note, I was scrolling through Facebook, completely separate article, NASA has found a planet covered entirely in marijuana.
Awesome for them.
So maybe Stevie really does exist. I'm just saying. So I posted this on my Facebook, and I'm like, I'm sure there's a poem in this somewhere, but do I want to write it? I've had people all day that know me around work and everything go, yes, write that poem. We want to hear what it is. I get home, I'm ready to start writing, and two people had already beat me to the punch and written poems about it. Barbara's is one of them.
Okay. So this one really it tickled me so much, so I figured I'd write this little poem. It's called Golden Ticket. Hand me my golden ticket and I will be safe, awaiting the day when my soul will fly away to the heavenly gates. And you say Jesus gave them to you and he told you to sell them to us. Did you really see him and was he all we believe him to be? Did he smell of cookies and did your skin feel like it had touched the softest flower petal? I am not sure they will let me in, even with this ticket, for I am not of a faith that believes in heaven. And will that mean I won't be able to see the gates to this invisible paradise? Will I be barred from it, even with my precious ticket in my hand? Then will you still be there when I return to get my money back?
I got to say, Barbara, I read that same article to my wife, and the minute I put my tablet down from reading that article, my mind went to the same place that Christine's did, and it's movie-related. I've got a golden ticket. I've got a golden ticket in my heart. So,
totally in the Chocolate Factory, of course.
Exactly, exactly. So I'm sitting at work like hours after I did that, and out of the blue, I start seeing this in my cubicle at work. And literally every head in my work area turns and looks at me like I'd fallen out of a tree. And then they're like, oh, that's just gay.
That's right.
No, seriously, this just tickled me. And I had nothing really to do, so I figured I'd go with it.
All right, Barbara, I'm going to use you as a prop for what we're going to do this coming month. I need your help, okay? What we did, okay. if you checked out the archives from last June, Mike did a cover a week for the entire month of June and part of July, too.
I think so, yeah. I think he did went eight like covers. 6 weeks or something like that, yeah.
So what we do is we solicit people to give us what cover songs they want to hear from Michael Amade. We're going to send it to my email address or private message me. We do not want Michael to know about these in public, okay?
Okay.
So think of a song that you want Michael to do and let me know on Facebook or let me know at jtoddunderhill@yahoo.com. Any of our listeners can do this if they want to hear Michael do. We're going to make Michael our cover slave for the month.
Okay, so you want me to send it to your email, right?
Yep.
Or a private message on Facebook.
For the Facebook, right?
Correct. Not the website one, J. Todd Underhill.
Okay.
All right. And if you're any of our listeners, I'm taking suggestions from everybody. Because June starts next week and Mike's not with us, I actually took the time to select two songs that I want him to do back and back.
Ooh.
With the anniversary that's coming up in my personal life, I'm actually causing anguish and pain in my life.
Okay.
One of the songs I want him to do is Matayahu, One Day.
Okay.
You guys will know the significance a little bit later. And then, he doesn't know this one's coming, Three Little Birds by Bob Marley to wrap that up.
Ooh.
Ooh. Are you going to have him do it next week?
Yeah, if he's going to listen to the show, he knows about Matayahu. We talked about it at the meeting. Because he said, I'm not going to be there. I need to know what to learn. But he doesn't know about Three Little Birds. So, surprise, Michael. All right, Barbara, thank you very much for calling our show.
You're welcome.
We look forward to hearing from you next week.
It's a lot of fun. Oh, yeah, definitely. Definitely next week. Awesome. Okay. All right, guys. Have a great show.
You as well. Bye-bye.
It is a great show. All right. Bye-bye.
That was Barbara on World Poetry Open Mic, the next Evolution in Poetry Radio. So Mike thinks he's doing one cover next week. He doesn't know that he's doing two. Surprise!
Well done.
It's that whole curveball thing.
Surprise!
Uh-huh. So, speaking of curveballs, this guy never brings a curveball, but he always hits them out of the park. Please welcome from Kentucky, he is Philip.
Well, hello.
Hello, my friend.
How are you, sir?
Oh, I'm doing swell.
I appreciate the introduction.
I'm glad you did.
Yes, sir. And I you know, I feel kind of bad because I have a poem here that I want to read to you guys. I truly do. And it has a few scribbles here and there where I've made revisions that are important. I don't know. You all of you fellows are poets, right?
Well, we got a songwriter, we've got a technical producer that does haiku, and then Christine, her artwork is in medical science.
Oh, thank you.
Absolutely. So, you
however
know,
abstract it may be, her artwork is medical science.
And there you go. I mean, it doesn't matter whether it's genetics or, you know, changing a line, there are revisions. So I'm going to do my best here, and here it goes. The title is Recalling Some of the Things I'd Do and Think About When I'd Wander Wild Through Backwood Country Dark Without an Income or a Residence.
All right.
All right. There it's the title. A nice big title. Clouds pass by soft as whispers. Sentries who grip firm their weapons, godlike bone fragments aloft, flung bodies of beasts, Goliath for a rematch, and deities minor or great, and briefly Carl Gustav Jung's noble face with pipe and chisel as he works his garden stone with esoteric symbols. I remain statuesque until the sun spills fresh blood at red dusk. These secret games unknown among everyone who judges. Talk about my queer predilections, because though I will die in reality, I've escaped its ugly clutches and refuse to live in it. Beneath a full luteal moon, I hum folk tunes from Oberon's wedding when all that summer and I subsisted on rare or magic honeysuckle and spontaneous poems beautiful as our earnestly voiced orisons. And now, merely a night dweller, dozing in an unidentifiable field, I hush my persistent lips, press them together, a flower untouched at midnight among stars that have been dead for centuries. And there it is, my friends.
Very well done, my friend. Cheers.
Thank you so much.
Not a problem. Look forward to hearing from you next week, my brother.
Yes, sir, and I look forward to it, too. Cheers. Be well.
You as well. That was Philip on World Poetry Open Mic, the next evolution in poetry radio. Nice. Love Philip. Love his work. Mm-hmm. And I got to say, back in my younger, wilder days, if this show had existed and someone else was hosting, I'd have probably been calling much in the same shape.
True.
Yeah. Let's just face it. I had a problem back then.
Yeah. And you're doing very well.
So far, so good. You know, almost a year now.
Yeah, see? So, doing good.
I got to say, I had a moment of weakness back when I was going through that tight time with my wife. Where I was like, there's like four liquor stores between my house and my hospital. And I'm like, no, I don't want to throw away this much time sober.
Good.
So,
good. Yeah. Good for you.
All right.
Well done.
It's always good to stand up to that because you know it's calling you.
Oh, yeah. Always. Always.
Awesome. The strength you have. Look at those biceps. Whoop!
I know.
Oh, sorry. I only touched his bicep, honey.
I know. Okay. I know. I saw. It's okay.
Okay.
But I stimulate her mind, too. I'm just kidding.
Hey! Oh, my.
Someone who makes my brain as hard as a rock, please welcome from New York, she is Lorraine.
Wow. Hello.
Hello.
I'm debating between Shakespeare and the Sopranos. I don't know how many pazu people we got in there.
Oh, you know what? You should do the Sopranos because Mike's going to be listening to this. And we just found a new place that was actually
I'm
a
gonna
mob hangout.
I'm
going to
regret this. You know that. You know, Jade. Okay. Here we go. Noodles.
All right.
What else are you going to call it? Noodles. I don't know enough about pasta. Noodles. They're long, well-rounded, and usually surrounded by others just like them. And though forks may spike them, they're usually twirled in a colorful world of sauces and cheese that traditionally please. The ones that adore them have freezers to store them. Why can't we be more like the noodles we eat? We need no extremities, not even feet. Just look at a noodle. You know that it's strong. Lacking a backbone, it learns to be long.
Well done.
Nice.
Benito.
We are noodle people.
I think it's funny that you chose the name Noodles on it.
I didn't know what to call it.
Well, not a lot of people know this. Michael's name is Amade, and he is a member of the Poetic Mafia, and his mafia name is Noodles O'Hare.
Noodles O'Hare. Because
he's Irish and Italian.
Is that the Irish mafia?
No, he's Irish and Italian.
Oh, yeah.
And boy, does he have a temper.
Yeah.
I haven't seen it.
You know, you're talking about that, but laughingly, David Caruso, who is a redheaded Italian on Miami CSI, I could never get over that, the red hair and the freckles.
Yep.
It just didn't match the name.
Right.
I think it's Caruso, Russo, whatever. But, you know, it's on those lines. Because I know when I started working for Rizzi and Russo in 1980, and I stayed 30 years, it was amazing. People thought I was working for a garbage company. You know, I pull up and they go, Rizzi and Russo, oh, sanitation? I go, no.
And it sounds like a vaudevillian act, Rizzi and Russo.
But anyhow, it's good to hear you guys. And if you're having a third segment tonight...
We're done after this, I believe. We may try to get Raj in on the fly. We're still trying to work out the
semantics. Well, I want everybody to get
that.
In, so I'll just cool it until next week. But,
all right.
In the interim, have a wonderful couple days, and I'll talk to you next Friday.
Talk to you next Friday. It'll be here before you
know
it.
Great to hear you. Thanks. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. That was Lorraine on World Poetry Open Mic, the next evolution in poetry radio. Now, I think that is Raj calling in. Raj, keep calling in. We got two more callers, or if you can hold for two more callers, we're going to try and slide you in on the fly, all right? So, to get one of those out of the way, please welcome from New Hampshire. It looks like New Hampshire. She is Jay Lorian. Hello?
Hello.
Hey, welcome back to our show.
Well, thank you. The piece I'm going to do for you now is called Land's End.
All right.
Land's End. Breathe out, step off, and catch the wind spiraling upward toward the light, forsaking darkened earthly night. Breathless, windswept angel's flight. Go home again. Land's End. The music lifts your essence up. Ascend. Go ahead, cross the expanse, ride the zephyr, join the dance. Let your spirit now advance around the bend. Open windows, closing doors, seeing things you've seen before, long-lost loved ones to adore. There's no more dying. Shuffling off this mortal coil, letting it return to soil, leaving all of us to toil as you go flying. Land's End. I promise that I will find you again. For wherever you may be, though further off than I can see, I feel your love right here with me, and love transcends Land's End.
Very well done.
Thank you.
I got to say, we were sitting there clapping, and JT was trying to do something with our broadcast, and then he's like, oh, hey, she's done, and turned on our microphones.
Sorry.
He's a busy boy during the show. I don't want to be in his place ever.
It is a crazy position.
Jalorian, thank you for calling our show, and we look forward to hearing from you next week.
Thank you. Have a good week.
You as well. That was Jalorian of World Poetry Open Mic, the next evolution of Poetry Radio. Another family member that we've come to love and adore. It's awesome.
Yes.
And someone else who's rapidly becoming a fixture on our show, at least for tonight. He's our second caller, second time calling tonight. Please welcome from Utah, he is Kevin.
Hello, this is Kevin again.
Hey, welcome back.
This one will be a little bit shorter, but it basically I think everybody can relate with it. If you're anything like I consider myself, which is a human, we all have friends out there that sometimes friends seem to be a one-way street. Anyway, this one is just titled Friends.
All right.
Our relationship is growing, and there seems to be no end to the things we have in common, but I cannot be your friend. I will have no strength to offer. There is none for you to take if the bank that you are building is the same one you would break. I cannot offer comfort when you cry out in the night needing someone to protect you from the things which give you fright, for I cannot give assistance when your enemies attack. If I'm lying in a pool of blood with knife wounds in my back. Until now you've been the teacher, but it's time for you to learn that the friendship you have given me is all I can return. The term friend, I'm not deserving, and there's nothing I can do. Until the day you realize you need to be one, too.
Kevin, thank you very much. Please don't stop calling our show. Great work.
Well, thank you very much, and I appreciate my invitation by Mr. Underhill to join this group. It's something I believe I will become a weekly, and I want to thank all of you for your time, and I've enjoyed every one of them that I've been able to hear. Been having some problems bouncing back and forth and losing my volume, but this has been a lot of fun, and I'll be back next week.
Awesome. Thank you, Kevin. We look forward to it already.
Great. You folks have a good evening, and I'm out.
All right. That was Kevin on World Poetry Open Mic, the next evolution in Poetry Radio from Utah.
Ooh.
Yeah, we can add another state on our list.
We can.
That's beautiful.
Utah's already listed on a state.
On our list.
On our list.
However, I think we've had Utah callers before.
Actually. We have, but we were in another studio.
That's the first Utah caller for this studio.
That's right.
That's awesome.
So,
all right. So, Raj, you're going to want to call in now.
Yes, please. All right,
please call now, Raj.
We'll take you right away. We'll take you live. Because
what a week it was, too, man. Getting prepped up for the show, looking forward to everything. And I got to say, this week went by very fast with the holiday. I was busy, you know, posting stuff for the show. And before I know it, pow, I'm like, it's Friday already. I woke up at 3 o'clock this morning. I'm like, time to go to work.
Yeah.
And Kevin's one of the ones that I actually reached out to this morning. Oh, nice. Thank you, Kevin, very much for calling our show.
Well done. Well done.
All right. We're still not getting a call from Raj. Should I read a poem while we're trying to get him?
Yeah. Let's go for it.
Let's do one last poem to honor the legend, the professor, Mr. Lenny C. And this was one, I don't know if you remember, from back in the KZKO studio days. He actually busted this out in our pre-show meeting. And I'm like, you got to do this one on the air. This one's about angry cops.
Mm.
The cop who kills the innocent civilian, he's not to blame. He's just a pawn in their game. It's the billionaires who hire the million-dollar suits who control the stooge old white men and train them to kill to protect property. So every time a cop kills an innocent civilian, the million-dollar suits get a stooge old white man to resign. A year later, he gets a $150,000 a year job in a think tank, and nobody ever gets to the billionaires that set the policy that results in the deaths of innocent civilians. There's only two real political parties in America, the winners, the losers, and the fix is in. And that was Lenny C. And I believe we've got Raj on the line. Raj, are you with us?
This is.
You're going to want to read your poem now, brother.
Hello, this is Raj here.
Hello, Raj. How are you?
Can I call now or should I wait?
No, you're going to want to read your poem now.
Fine, fine.
Read your poem now, sir.
Okay, I'll call back. Okay,
no,
thank
no, no,
you.
No, 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 Raj!
Read now, sir.
Pardon?
You want to read now. Read your poem.
Okay. Thank you.
And
we lost him.
He hung up.
Okay.
Raj, call back. We're going to have you go right into your poem, okay, Raj? Call us back right now. So, yeah, that was the last one I had from
Louis. That was good.
Yeah.
I like that one.
He rocked the poets that you're seeing here.
Look, there's an angel at the door.
There is an angel at the door. Just call me angel in your doorway, Marlin.
Sorry. Wow.
Talk about weird 70s reference. Well, I don't think we're going to get Raj back on the line.
I don't think so.
Studio X has been locked down by Lloyd Friesen. He sort of took it over with his submission. No, actually, Michael's not here to do a Studio X, and Christine doesn't feel like filling in his position.
I can't play the guitar.
Yes.
You took the keys.
And I took the keys to the Hadron Collider because Mike was out of town, and I didn't want you guys playing around with it. You remember what happened last time with the demon that you released with the Hadron Collider?
I didn't do that.
We needed an old priest, a young priest, and a new football priest. Helmet filled with cottage cheese.
That's right. It was really weird that cottage cheese was...
The power of curds compel you. The power of curds compel you.
All right, folks.
All right. Well, that's it for this show. My name's J. Todd Underhill. For Christine from Radio Angry, JT, who does both shows, and myself, we want to thank you for tuning in. We urge you to tune in next week. Good night, Robert Mordlin, wherever you're at.